Welcome to Your Dream Gym, a podcast from The Collective. I'm your host, Guy Griffiths, and on the podcast, I talk to our guests about what motivates them, the kind of workouts that they love, and what their dream gym looks like. This week, I'm joined by Rob Handy, who runs independentgyms.co.uk ahead of the summer conference on Tuesday, the 5th of July. To find out more and get your tickets, go to independentgyms.co.uk. The purpose of The Collective is to share, collaborate, and grow. So please share this podcast with your colleagues. Let us know what you think by rating it, and don't forget to like and subscribe. Join the conversation online by using the hashtag YourDreamGym. I'll be back at the end of this episode with some more details and news of next week's guest. But for now, let's hear about Rob Handy's dream gym. Really pleased today to be joined by Rob Handy, who is Mr. Independent Gyms. Welcome, Rob. How are you?
Hi, Guy. Thanks for having me. I'm good, thank you. Yeah, very good.
Cool. Thanks for joining us today. Rob's really well known and very well respected in the fitness industry. If you don't know him, I haven't come across him, then, you know, as a bit of background, he worked at David Lloyd. He worked at the Club Company, yeah, which we think is where our paths may have crossed at the Warwickshire.
Yeah, quite possibly. It was a few years back, that was, wasn't it?
Yeah. But then has spent a long time as an account manager at Core Health and Fitness, selling kit. And he founded the Independent Gyms Group in 2018.
I think it was 2018, August 2018. I have to sort of keep second guessing myself whenever I think about it. It was that long ago now.
That's right. But it originally was a Facebook group. But is now a community of over 2,000 independent UK and Ireland gyms. Conferences. You've got a big supply network in there as well.
Yeah, a little bit of everything really, just to help out the independents.
So that's why. He's known in my book anyway as Mr. Independent Gyms.
Thank you.
Welcome to Your Dream Gym. The idea of the podcast is to just find out a little bit about a bit more about you, Rob, and about what makes you tick, and what your dream gym looks like. So let's kick off with imagine you're just coming into a gym, and I'm an instructor, and I'm welcoming you. And what I want to know is, what are your exercise goals? Why do you work out?
Well, this is an interesting one, because I was thinking about this the other day, and it's changed completely over the years. I think I'm not a typical lad, but you want to build muscle and all that, get strong, get the six pack. And I've kind of chased that dream, but I've always been so far away from it for years. Just, I think my appetite and my greed gets the better of me in that respect. So that was always the goal. And I kind of thought, looking back, what is my goals at the minute? And it's more about, I think I exercise to eat, if I'm honest. So I exercise so that I can maintain a generally healthy lifestyle. I'm quite almost on the fence generic, if I'm honest with you.
Okay. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's a balance thing, but in terms of is it a balance?
Yeah, I'd say I'm never going to have a six pack now. I'm over the 40s. So I'm on the opposite side of the ability to get that six pack, I think. But for me, it's just about maintaining a healthy lifestyle balance. I like going out and about, eating out and all that. And to do that and to enjoy my life, I need to have the exercise with it. So for me, it's just being consistent and keeping it at bay, I suppose, is one way of putting it. I still every now and again, I think, oh, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to get that six pack. But the reality kicks in. It's probably never going to happen there for me.
Okay. When does that change come about? You know, when you say, oh, every now and then you think,
okay. I think when I get consistent with it, I try to be consistent, but I'll be consistent for 3 weeks and then do nothing for 3 weeks, if I'm honest. Okay. But when I've had a good run of training, I think, you know, I'm in the routine now. Let's hit the gym. Let's do some weights. And then that's when I start to think I'm going to go for it. But then life gets in the way, doesn't it? We're all busy and life gets in the way, and you miss a couple of sessions and you're out of your routine. So
yeah, and hard to get back in and start again.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing you always know. Being in the industry, you know the benefits. There's no sort of doubt about that. But it's just having making priorities, I think, is the best way of putting it. And in the lockdown last couple of years made me think I'm going to commit to. I said to myself every day an hour you know, 5 days a week for an hour religiously. That's my focus now. Work is take a back step. Mm-hmm. Reality of it is it's flipped the other way, and work always seems to get in the way take. There's always something to be done. So those, the first thing to go is, oh, you know what? I won't go to the gym today. I've got a bit of work to do. I'll go later tonight. And then tonight comes and you're busy. So it's that sort of thing, isn't it? It's consistency, but inconsistent at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, the eternal commitment and yes, work life workout
balance. Yes,
yeah,
is the
work,
one.
Workout balance. What kind of workout? Tell us about your kind of ideal workout, Rob. What kind of thing do you enjoy?
There's the ideal workout that I want to do, but then there's the workouts that I do, and they're probably two completely different things.
Right.
I know I should be lifting weights. I know I should be working out more in terms of strength training. Mm-hmm. But the reality, it kicks in. I'm a bit of a my zone freak, and I love chasing the MEPs. Okay. And you don't get that from weights, do you? It's one of them. It's if you jump on a spin bike for an hour, you get a good couple of hundred. If you go to the gym for lifting weights for an hour, you probably don't get there. So the competitive nature of trying to race, you know, creep up the my zone charts, it kind of kicks in. So for me, I tend to do mostly cardio. I've got a spin bike in the conservatory, and I've got a treadmill in the garage, so I'll do that when I'm at home to kill the time. But when I go to the gym, I just want to get those MEPs up, get my heart burning, you know, ticking along, and feel like I've worked out, for you know, feel the burn, feel the sweat, and that sort of stuff. So I'm a bit of a cardio freak at the moment, I'll be honest with you, but I know I need to do some weights, just never get around to it.
Yeah, sure. So, listen, I mean, my zone's a brilliant tool, obviously, in terms of motivation. Yeah. And the motivation you get from that, is it, you know, it's being on the leaderboard, competing with others?
Yeah, the leaderboard's good. There's always a challenge to be done. But I think a lot of it is the measure, knowing you've hit a certain number of MEPs, and it almost ticks the box to say you've done enough. Now, the level's not huge, but it says, right, I've done my... 30 minutes a day kind of thing, 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with the Apple Watch, hitting the rings on the watch. It's these wearables that give you that little bit of motivation.
Mm.
Some of them don't necessarily relate to a real hard workout, but it's the tick in the box to say you've done enough stuff for that week.
So, absolutely, yeah.
And when you're busy, you almost need those little targets to work towards.
That's right, yeah. Small bites is good. I remember you... wearing your MyZone belt when we went out for a round of golf, actually.
anything to show. Yeah, I must have been in a challenge at that point. I think I was in a challenge with America for core. So we was up against some. It was pretty cold and wet when we played golf, and we was up against a team in California that could go cycling and stuff for 3 hours a day in the sun. So, yeah, every MEP counted.
Every little bit. So if you leave it off when you're walking the dog, is that you'd go back for it, would you?
Yeah, I've done a dog walk a day all year, and every day I've had my MyZone on. And even if it's 30, 40 MEPs, it all counts, doesn't it? But that's for me, my focus has gone. Whilst I love going to the gym, it's more being active now as well. So I want to do the workouts, but I just said to myself, let's just get consistent through January, do something every day. So it's going to the gym, it's getting on the bike in the treadmill, but also taking the dog out and just making sure I'm moving all the time. Mm. And then I'll get back into the habits of the bigger workouts sort of gradually through the year, and I'll get back into the gym properly. So always take your MyZone there.
Excellent. So cardio, a cardio addict, if you like, or a MyZone addict. And on the, so back on, just quickly on the, you know, you feel you should be lifting weights more. Yeah. We won't necessarily go into the science of that, because I'm not a sports scientist, God knows, but what kind of thing would you like to be doing there more of?
Just generally lifting, but do you know what I see? And it's the sort of thing, I've been in the industry for years, and I've never set foot in the door of not properly anyway, but CrossFit just always seems to jump out at me as quite something I'd probably quite enjoy. Not necessarily the random pull-ups and the kipping pull-ups, whatever they are, but just kind of the, because I think that would give you that element of cardio built into it with the weight. So the Olympic style lifting, that kind of, I mean, CrossFit isn't circuit training by any stretch, but it's kind of almost that pushing yourself element that circuit training would give you, or boot camp that kind of thing. So I'd love to get into trying something like a CrossFit style workout. You get variations, aren't you, on that now, where you get obviously the National Fitness Games, and then as High Rocks has come out, almost like accessible CrossFit, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, yeah. And it is, I mean, I think that competitive element right, it sounds like that would quite appeal to you as well in terms of the, you know, not necessarily the going to competitions, but the leaderboards and things like that would be good, I guess.
I think it's almost competing against yourself as well, isn't it? I used to do a lot of running back in the day, and I'd know my time. I'd have the same route that I'd do two or three times a week, and I'd know the time at various points, and I'd know if I was ahead of myself. That used to drive me on. So I think something competitive like CrossFit, where you're chasing other people, but also you're chasing yourself, aren't you, to do heavier, more reps, quicker, that sort of thing.
Oh yeah, 100%. So have you been, I'm sure you've been to CrossFit gyms.
From a work point of view. Yeah, with
a
work perspective. We don't do a huge amount of CrossFit gyms, but we do bits and pieces.
Yeah.
It's that entry point, isn't it? I think the industry is the same, and the newcomers to a gym, stepping foot through the front door for that first time is always, it's hard for somebody to do that if you're not into that sort of thing. So I've probably been the same. I'd walk into any gym in the country, but CrossFit's always been that, oh, I can't do that kind of thing. It's just been in the back of my mind. So you never know. Who knows? This might be the year.
Okay. So you've not done a CrossFit workout before? I haven't.
No. But I think I look at it as well, and I can't do pull-ups. So that puts me off a lot of what they do. But I'm sure they probably have accessible and other alternatives that you do when people are doing pull-ups if you can't. But just one of those things, that's the sort of thing that's put me off, I think.
I can't imagine it's a prerequisite
to
join a CrossFit gym, but you're absolutely right. And it's something we've talked about a lot. And I've talked about at your conferences is about the fear that people have of even crossing the threshold of a leisure center, let alone a CrossFit club. But CrossFit is, there's lots of articles about it being a religion. And a lot of people that I know that go do, you know, it really is almost a religious experience that they have. Definitely.
But you get that with a lot of things, don't you? Like spinning and in group cycling, almost. I won't say cult because it's not a cult, but it's people really get into it. It becomes their passion, and I think that's brilliant. And if somebody can do that with CrossFit or spinning or the new boutique sort of studios that are coming out now, I think that's brilliant. Find what you love and crack on with it, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. So what in your getting onto your dream gym then, talk us a little bit about your reasons for exercise the kind of workouts you like doing. What does your dream gym look like, Rob?
We're definitely independent is the one I'd say. Nothing wrong with any of those. I've been in the gyms, I've been members of all sorts of, David Lowe, Pure Gym, I've been members of the independents, but I just sort of gravitate back towards those independents. Dream gym space, I suppose, is the obvious thing. It's sort of, whilst I love doing cardio, and I think if I'm going to go to a gym, I don't want to just go and run on a treadmill. It's that sort of thing. I can do that outside. I can do that anywhere. But having an element of cardio is key. I think for me, what I love seeing at the moment is the sort of small group training type setups. I think that almost, it's that halfway house, isn't it, between a gym and a CrossFit sort of facility, where CrossFit might come across as daunting initially. The small group training element where they remove some of those pull-ups that you can't necessarily do.
Yeah.
You've got the space and the Olympic bars and the pod setups, that sort of thing. I think that would be, that's probably where I would gravitate towards most once I get over that initial I'm new kind of scenario that you get with a CrossFit setup.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So, plenty of space and some cardio and small group training for maybe some, a little bit of lifting. I think I know the answer, but an independent gym rather than a chain or a budget gym. Why is your ideal gym independent? Taking
the day job and the current career sort of dictates that a little bit, but I just find with an independent, it's usually the owner's on the door,
right?
And it's usually don't get me wrong, you still get a good experience at other gyms. I don't know, never knock that, but the owner's on the door, and it's just feels very genuine that they're there, and it's it's that personal feel, that sort of place that you want to be, and you your third space, effectively, if that makes sense. It's not the third space, everyone knows, but
your
third space. It's your place that you choose to spend what is becoming your social time now. It's not just the tick in the box, it's your social time. So the independents just feel welcoming, and to me in general, the good ones anyway. Not so much.
Is that the same? I mean, is that something that just goes through you in terms of having a coffee or having a going out for dinner in terms of independent coffee shop or restaurant or?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm in Starbucks a lot, and it's more convenience. But I love searching out. I think you get when you're independent, you've got to set yourself apart. You can't just do what everyone else does. So from a coffee shop perspective, you'd probably get a different brew, a different coffee. The same with an independent gym. They can't do the same as what Pure Gym does down the road because they won't be there. So they have to find the facilities and the service particularly that sets them apart. And I think that's where independents step come into their own. So, you know, seeing the owner on the desk and the welcome, but also the general service that they get. Overall, they'll go above and beyond to try and make sure you're happy, or they should be. And that's what you get with a good independent.
Yeah. And what's the vibe like in the gym? I mean, I get if it is independent, you're probably, certainly the independent gym I visit, you know the members more, and the members are kind of probably chatting to each other a bit more. But in terms of what are the people there like? This is your dream
gym
club that's allowing.
I think the vibe changes as you go through the club. I think for me, it's got to be a welcoming reception and obviously friendly face, but not banging music straight away. But when you get into the workout area and you've said hello and you're doing noises and you've really got your earphones in or you're in there to train, that's when the vibe really lifts up. So it will shift as you go through. But then obviously, you don't want that all the time because, again, showing my age probably, the constant banging of music. If that was the first thing I experienced when I walked into a facility, I'd probably sort of think twice. But having that welcoming reception, friendly owner, staff, nice little coffee area maybe, it's always good. Essential, but always good. Somewhere to socialise and to chat sort of thing. But then once you get into where the work happens, that's when I'd like the music to be different, lively. I say banging music again, show me those age. It's the vibe changes, doesn't it? When you want to get down to business and do your workout, that's when you want that motivational music to kick in. And the people around you to almost feel the same. And from the slightly competitive element, I think that would help. And I think the people around you being competitive and you kind of just chase each other, feed off each other, trying to do a little bit more than the person next to you, quicker reps maybe if in the right environment. So you've almost got two sort of different scenarios, a nice welcoming section, but then let's go for it in the main room, let's go for it in the space.
Cool. With obviously, all sorts of other people like you who are doing the same kind of thing. There's a competitive edge. There's maybe a challenge or a leaderboard or something like that.
My zone with time, but the leaderboard challenge. What I like as well, I don't want everybody to be like a carbon copy of me doing exactly the same thing because I think that could be boring, but I've seen a variety of people, different years, different scenarios in their life. So some people would be super fit, but you can always sort of aspire to reach them.
Yeah.
May not. Others are just everyday athletes that just want to just there to do the reps and to get it done. But it's that mixture of personas, a mixture of personalities in a semi-competitive environment, I'd say. As long as they're not better than me.
Excellent. And what are the staff like? Where are they in terms of let's not go all the way down the retention interaction route, but in your ideal club, what are you getting from the staff? You've already mentioned a nice hello and maybe a coffee on the way out. What else are they providing you in your dream gym?
What I wouldn't want is like a drill sergeant. I wouldn't want that constantly on your back. I want someone who's friendly, has a bit of banter, comes and gives you a little push and motivates you for that little bit, but doesn't get in your way and try to kill you every session. I think there's place for that, and I think in the right environment it works. But for me, I almost go like work against that. If somebody's overly motivational, I'm like, all right, calm down, mate.
Yeah.
I think I appreciate a little push, a little nudge, but it's more about the banter and the welcome for me. Say hello. If I'm on my own, if I'm just getting on with it, lead me to it. If it's a group environment, let's go for it. So I think it's completely different. But when it's just me working out, whilst I'm a social guy, sometimes I've just got my earphones in. I just want to do my own thing.
Cool.
Yeah. I think they've got to know when to turn it on and off. If they've always... Yes. I think there's almost a pressure we won't talk about retention, but when we talk about it, it's almost a pressure to say hello and talk to people all the time. And sometimes it's just saying hello and leaving them alone. And that's what I like. Be around, but don't be in my face all the time.
Yeah, it's being there, being available, isn't it? Yeah. And saying saying hello, possibly, you know, popping the earphone out just to say hello, yeah. or to comment on something, or, you know, maybe an exercise correction, but actually it's just saying, I'm here, if you need me, I'm here, rather than, can I help you today, every time, or are you just looking?
I think a lot of time, though, the staff, when you go to a place regular, they almost become like friends, don't they? Sort of thing. Yes, they're working there, they're there to help you, or their mates, but they'll just say hello, have a quick chat, and then leave you to it. But if you know them well enough, that's cool. They'll be a bit more interactive. But you're there to kind of work out. The socials are all part of it, but let's make the workout the main part, and the social part sort of bracket either side before and after your workout.
Yeah, cool. Okay. And we mentioned, or you mentioned, spin as another kind of cult or religion. You're basically there to do some cardio and to maybe pick up some heavy stuff and put it down again. As we go through this year, what about classes and group X? You mentioned small group training. Is that more your thing than a big spin?
I think it's along that CrossFit route. The thought of wanting to do CrossFit, but maybe small group training gives you that similar sort of environment to work out without the serious nature that CrossFit would bring. So small group training would be good. I think you get a better workout, not necessarily a better workout, but you get a more intense workout when you're in a group, because I think you're potentially chasing other people.
Yeah.
And the same with the class as well. So I use my bike at home every now and again, and I have an okay workout, but when I go to a club that I'm working with and do one of their sessions, doing a group cycling class is far tougher than the 45 minutes I'd do on the bike at home.
Yeah,
and it's that sort of thing. And every now and again, I'll jump in a class just to shock myself and to go, this is what you're aiming for. This is what you should be doing. I'd jump into a class without a doubt. I don't think I'd do legs, bums and tums and the Les Mills type of stuff, but I would do group cycling. I'd do a lifting type class. I'd do what I call it circuit training, boot camp, whatever it may be. I'd do that kind of thing. Without a doubt. And classes are just great, aren't they? You've got to have and I think if you have an element of group training within your facility, it's again, retention brilliant from that, but it's just fun, isn't it? Your members enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I again, not wanting to go too much down that route, but there's so many clubs, and particularly leisure centres, who are trying to convince the people joining the gym to go for a swim.
Yeah.
And it's one or two out of 100 will do it, and we will get the benefits and all that kind of stuff. But actually trying to persuade everyone to go into a class early doors in the membership, or at any point in the membership, is good, because, generally it is enjoyable. Yeah. It is a harder workout.
And I think, obviously, this is called your dream gym, but I think variety is key for a lot of people.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, the same thing over and over, insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results.
That's it, isn't it?
I think for not for performance necessarily, but just for enjoyment of a session and for long-term membership, I'd want to be able to do different things. Whilst I might generally do the same thing every time I go, it's having that option. Every now and again, I'm going to jump in a spin class.
Okay. So what does part four, if anyone's been following the route of the questions, but the final kind of main question, part of your dream gym, is what does progression or what does motivation look like to you? We've covered it a little bit, I think, with my zone, but it leads on nicely from what you were just saying about variety.
Yeah, historically I'd always do an event, sort of like a training, that sort of thing, which gives you the obvious training progression because you have to build up to it. It's hard to say now, I suppose. I say weight loss, because weight loss is different, but it's that sort of thing. For me, it's consistency over progression, I suppose, at the moment. But if I say progression, the obvious one is if I start lifting heavier as we go, that sort of thing, or burning more calories, that sort of stuff. The my zone thing, I'm chasing Hall of Fame, and that's kind of in my mind, 5 months away. But it all kind of ties in. What I tend to do is, whilst I train at a gym, I'll just do general cardio. I'll always have an eye on an event that I'm going to do. So London Marathon, for example, in October. And that's probably where I'll progress to. Whether I get there as I'd like to, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I don't think there's never a destination, is there? There's always it's a journey, not a destination.
Absolutely, yeah. With milestones or oil barrels, depending on what book you read, along the way. But something to aim for, like an event, like a marathon, along with motivational things like little challenges along the way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So what I've done this year, I'm just basically doing a different challenge every month because it's I've got to get the consistency of going back to the gym. So I'm just going to do something different every month, and I'll have a focus for that month, focus for the next month. So last month was closing the rings on the watch. So I'd just get to the gym and I'd do my half an hour and I'd be done with it. I haven't decided what I'm doing this month, which is 4 days in, but we'll get there. It'll have to be a gym-related one, I think. Maybe work out every day or something, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe this is what triggers that, I don't know.
So
we've got you effectively work out to balance the work and also balance the calorie input output. Talking about your favorite kind of workouts are typically or traditionally more cardio, but you'd like to do a few more weights. Maybe that's something you're going to look at, and your dream gym would probably have that aspect of not the kind of religious CrossFit, but something that's a little bit
CrossFit,
small group training, tailored towards that. It's an independent gym.
Because you
like supporting independence, but it's that personal touch. Mm. And although you've got a bike at home and a treadmill, which is kind of obvious with where you've come from.
That's the trade, yeah.
Yeah, you'd also be doing classes, you'd be doing group exercise and things like that, or small group X in the club as well.
A complete. I think that's it's something like variety, isn't it? To do a little bit of everything, a little bit of different stuff, just more often. And every now and again, I'll follow a niche and I'll stick to it, and then I'll change again and change my mind and do something different.
Nice. Okay. Excellent. We're going to finish off with a few quick fire questions, if that's all right.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Tell me about your last workout or your last activity.
The last activity was actually I did a 70-minute session on the spin bike whilst I was in a meeting with work. So I had I was on Teams.
When was that? This morning or yesterday?
Last week, Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah, so Tuesday we sit and listen to a company update. So I usually spend the time and I call it Schwintervals, which is a bit of a play on the Schwinn brand.
Yeah.
I just do a sort of an hour or 45 minutes of interval session type stuff. Nice and simple, nothing too complicated. But take the time, 70 minutes on the bike. That was my last one.
iPad in front of you and you're in the meeting, right?
Yeah, literally that. Sit and listen. I don't have to talk, just have to soak it all up, but I can do that whilst I'm exercising.
Excellent. Okay. What is either the best or the worst fitness class you've ever taken, Rob? As in you've ever been in.
Oh, I do the best because I don't want to.
Yeah, go on.
I think from a workout perspective, but also from an enjoyment perspective, I did a Tribe workout up in Manchester last year. We went to their brand new site in Manchester. That was just phenomenal. Just the mix of the sort of thing, the staff were great, friendly on the way in. They were motivational inside, but they weren't sort of those drill sergeants. It was a mix of running, weights, and high intensity interval training on they had road bikes. It was just really motivational. There was 12 of us doing it all together. So it was a tester of the product that they were offering.
Yeah.
But it was tough. It was a really tough workout, but all the levels were set. You could push yourself to how hard you wanted to work out.
Yeah.
So there was a much fitter people, but there was people that weren't as fit as me, but everybody had a comparable workout. Right. Tribe. Yeah.
Excellent.
I really like the Tribe stuff. Sorry?
Yeah. And overall experience, I imagine, probably.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fantastic venue, and it's so nicely laid out. While they're not an independent site, you've got to give kudos to what Tribe guys have done.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful facility. The experience was amazing. And the workout was great with it as well.
Excellent. Good stuff. Last one. What's your essential gear? What three things do you always take with you?
Earphones.
Gym? Earphones, okay, yeah.
Earphones, my phone, because I watch Netflix while I'm in the gym doing my cardio.
Okay, yeah.
Then two.
Earphones and phone, that's two. What's the other thing that you would go back home
and then,
for?
It's probably not essential, but my other phone, because then I have my work and my personal phone. I watch TV on my personal one. I'll have my zone on the work one, so I can see what tile I'm in whilst I'm watching Walking Dead or whatever I might be watching.
Nice. So two phones.
Two phones.
Two phones and two headphones.
Yeah, big time's that. So
excellent.
I think that would probably change. I bought lifting straps and wrist straps about about 3 years ago, and they're still in the bag and they haven't been used. So I take them with me all the time. One day they'll get used, I'm sure.
Well, maybe later this year, based on what we've talked about today.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll see. Awesome. Well, listen, Rob, it's bang on 30 minutes. So thank you very much for your time. Thanks for joining us on the your Dream Gym podcast.
Thanks for having me on.
I look forward to seeing you at an independent event or another event somewhere very soon, I hope.
Definitely.
Fantastic. Thanks, Rob.
Cheers, guy.
Always good to hear from Rob Handy. He is a great champion of independent gyms. And if you are an indie gym, then you really should look at the website independentgyms.co.uk. And if you can, get along to the summer conference on Tuesday, the 5th of July. Thanks to you as well for listening to this episode. We hope that you enjoyed it. A couple of favours before I go. Please do help us on The Collective by sharing this with your colleagues, by liking and reviewing. If you subscribe to the podcast, then you'll get next week's episode in your stream as soon as it's released on Tuesday. And we will be speaking to Ross Manester from Indigo Fitness. Again, a little bit about independent gyms, but also about building his amazing dream gym. So look out for that. Thanks again for listening, and I will see you soon.